Please, if you will, take your Bible and turn to Matthew chapter 1. Matthew chapter 1. The sermon tonight is not really, it's not really a Christmas sermon at all, but it will seem like it because of the scripture and maybe some of the references that I'll make. Matthew chapter 1. Once you find Matthew 1, go to verse number 18. Verse number 18. Matthew chapter 1, verse number 18. If you'll stand with me, please, we'll stand out of reverence to the Word of God. I'm going to read out loud. You can follow along silently. Might I say, if you have a cell phone on, we would ask that it be turned on, vibrate, or turned off all the way. Young people, we don't talk, we don't play during the preaching, so we don't want you to interrupt. It's not that we don't want you to enjoy yourself, but we've got to listen to the Word of God this evening. That's extremely important. Matthew chapter 1, verse number 18, the Bible says this. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. When his mother, Mary, was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privately. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. And Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife, and knew her not, till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. And let's pray. Father, bless us now. Lord, I certainly want to respect everyone's time. Some have been here a long time, but Lord, I want to respect your intent for this service as well. I would like to get through quickly, but yet I want to be thorough and appropriate in the preaching of your book. Combine the two, Lord. Make it so that we get what we need, but yet we're cautious so that we're not here for a long time. Bless us, Lord, Holy Spirit of God. Do something unique and special in our minds as we discuss this simple, simple truth, please. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Have a seat, if you will. If you are listening there, in Matthew 1:23, it says this, Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted, is God with us. This is the Christmas story. In verse number 18, it talks about the birth of Christ. It mentions Mary. It mentions Joseph. It tells that this child was of the Holy Ghost. In verse 19, we find out what a just man Joseph was because of the situation that he and Mary find themselves in. And then when you get to verse 20, it tells us that the angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph and told him that Mary's pregnancy was an act of God. In verse number 21, we find out that that same angel tells Joseph that Mary will have a boy child and that they're going to name him Jesus, and he will save his people from their sin. In verse 22, it tells us that that which is taking place is actually what was predicted in Isaiah chapter 7, verse number 14. It was a prophecy being fulfilled. In verse 23, we find that there's a quote from the Old Testament. It talks about a virgin shall be with child, and she shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. And that's where I wanted to get tonight. Jesus was God with us. Jesus came to us as a representative of the form of God. Let me show you what I mean. In Philippians chapter 2, verse 5 and 6, it says this, Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. Notice that word, form. Jesus came to show us somewhat what God was like, not in looks, but in behavior, in spirit, in character, and in holiness. Jesus was the image of God. Let me read a passage to you. In Colossians 1:13 it says, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. Then it goes on to say in verse 15, who is the image of the invisible God. Let me read another verse. 2 Corinthians 4:4. At the end of it, it says, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. Notice, Christ is the image of God. Jesus was God with us. Jesus was the image of God. In Hebrews 1:2, it says, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person. God formed Jesus in his image. Now, the sermon's real simple. Jesus was brought to us, and he was in the image or form of God. You and I, we're supposed to be like Jesus. That's really the sermon. Now, stay with me as I develop it just a little more. Who is the one that does this forming? We are to be formed into his image, and Jesus was come in the form of God. It is God that is the creator. It is God that does the forming. It is God that does the molding, if you will. God is a great creator. The Bible says in Genesis 1:1, in the beginning God created what? The heavens and the earth. And let me tell you something. The Bible says in Genesis 1:2 that it says, listen to this, the earth was without form. It says, and the earth was without form and void. Oh, but let me tell you, do you know what God did with that which was not formed? God formed it. He molded it. The Bible says in Psalm 90 verse 2, before the mountains were brought forth, or ever thou hast formed the earth. In other words, the earth started without form, but God said, I can form that. I can mold that. I have an image that the earth needs to take on. He did the same thing with Jesus. God said, I'm sending Jesus down there in my form. I know how to create. I know how to form it. I know how to handle that image. The Bible tells us in Psalm 94:9, it is God that formed our eyes. The Bible tells us that God formed the dry land in Psalm 95, verse number 5. The Bible says that God formed this thing that we call light. It's found in Isaiah 45, verse number 7. God formed the body of man, according to Genesis 2:7. God formed the animals in Genesis 2:19. God formed the birds in Genesis 2:19. Matter of fact, the Bible says in Proverbs 20:16, the great God that formed all things. Anything that is, it is God that formed it. He molded it. He's the one that created the image that you see. He's a great former. So, God is the one that forms things. He's the one that creates. He molds them. Now, why? Well, I'll answer that question. God formed all things for himself. For himself. Let me show you. Revelation chapter 4, verse 11, it says, thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created. Now that word created is like the word formed or molded. For thou hast created all things for thy pleasure. They are and were created. God created or molded or formed all things for himself. He created all things, according to that verse, Revelation 4:11. He not only created it for himself, but he created it for his pleasure. Isaiah 43:21 says, this people have I formed for myself. Folks, God formed you, but he didn't form you for you. He formed you for him. He did not form you for your pleasure. He formed you for His pleasure. For all things were created by Him and for His good pleasure. I was not created for me. You were not created for you. You were created, you were formed, you were molded by God, for God. And He's not just the one that formed you. He didn't just do it for Himself. He did it for His pleasure. In other words, God ought to be getting pleasure out of your life. Say, well, I'll tell you what, preacher, I'm really enjoying my life. I'm glad you are, but your life is really not all about your life. Your life is all about Him enjoying you. What kind of thrill is God getting out of you? What's God getting out of this? He formed you. Let me go on. I said, first of all, I said God is the one who is the great former or creator. Secondly, God formed all things for Himself and for His pleasure. Number three, now God wants Christ to be formed in us. 1 Corinthians 15:49 says, "And as we have borne the image of the earthly, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly." Let me explain that verse. Listen to it again. It says, "As we have borne the image of the earthly, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly." Did you know that most of the time when a man and woman come together and have a child, that child looks like that man and woman? Some of you kids are saying, "Bummer." Well, it says, it uses these words. It says, "As we have borne the image of the earthly." In other words, kids take on the resemblance of their children. Then it says, "We shall also bear the image of the heavenly." What that means is, just like my kids are going to take on my image, Mrs. Owens and I have children, and they're gonna look like us, and they ought to think that is a glorious thing. But now, wait a minute. When we got born again, we have a heavenly Father. You and I, as Christians, we ought to be becoming the spitting image of Daddy, our heavenly Father. Colossians 3:10 says, "And have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of Him that created him." God wants to form you into being what you're supposed to be for Him. Isaiah 44:21 says, "Remember these, O Jacob and Israel, for thou art my servant, I have formed thee." You know what God wants? God wants to form you into being a servant. Now, servant to a lot of things. I mean, husbands ought to serve wives, and wives husbands, and children parents, and parents children. But ultimately, you're to serve God. You're to serve God. And God reminds Jacob here. He said, "I created you, and I am molding you into becoming a servant." This morning, Mrs. Janine Caldwell gave Mrs. Owens a plate full of cookies. And there is is that a gingerbread man?
Yes.
Well, thank you. Thank you. Mike, you've got her trained well. And there's a candy cane here, and I won't ask. I know it is. And there's a snowman here. And these are images. And Mrs. Caldwell and some girls, I think they were cooking and baking, and Emma Smith and Joelle Smith and Eleni Crawford, they made these and gave them to us. Now, folks, let me explain. You and I are to be like the cookie dough. Jesus is our mold, and it is God's hand that presses the mold into the dough. You say, well, what's He trying to create? He wants you to look like Jesus. And you say, well, I'm going to grow my hair long. Well, first of all, you're looking at the Catholic Bible to get that picture. But that's not what we're talking about. We're talking about you ought to behave in the image of Jesus Christ. I have right here, this is That's a man, I think. It's a cookie cutter. Now remember, I'm the dough. I've got this. Jesus is the mold, and God's hand presses into the dough, and He's trying to form me. He's forming me, and I'm to be in the image of Jesus Christ. You know what that means? I'm to be pliable. I'm to be soft. I'm to want to be molded into whatever God wants me to be. So, if you're listening, here's what we've said. I said, first of all, it is God that is the great former. He's the molder. Then, God formed all things for Himself and for His pleasure. Then God wants Christ to be formed in us. Folks, if you're listening, I am spelling out the Christian life in the simplest of terms. But I tell you, what I'm telling you has very deep roots in the doctrine of God and what God wants and why the human race was created and what God expects from you and I. Hey, now, could I recommend something to you? Don't fight the forming. Don't fight that forming. Look, if I had some dough laying out on the counter and I went to take the cookie cutter to stamp it and my dough got up and ran away. Now, you say it can't happen. What, you've never heard of the Pillsbury Doughboy? You'd say, well, I don't want that. That dough shouldn't have tried to escape. We're trying to make something good. Well, let me tell you something. What God's trying to do with you is better than anything you could ever do with you. What do you think you're doing? Running from the God that wants to stamp the image of His own Son on your life. Listen to Romans chapter 9, verse 20 and 21. The Bible says, "Nay, but, O man, who art thou that repliest against God? Shall the thing formed say to him that formed it, Why hast thou made me thus? Hath not the potter power over the clay of the same lump to make one vessel unto honor and another unto dishonor?" You know, God is the potter. I am the clay. And I am to be moldable. And I'm to become anything that God the potter wants me to be. Or God is the baker. And I am the cookie dough. And whatever shape God wants me formed in, I ought to submit to becoming what God wants me to be. You say, well, preacher, what in the world does God want me to be? Well, He wants you to be like Jesus. But there's a lot that goes along with that. But don't fight the forming. Don't ignore the forming. Don't run from the forming. Here's what we do. God takes the cookie cutter, Jesus, He comes toward you, and He said, I'm going to stamp my image into your clay. And you say, whoa, 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 whoa. That's not what I want to be. I got another plan for my life, God. It's my life. I'm going to do what I want with it. You say, well, preacher, that's silly. People do it all the time. They do it all the time. Well, wait. Let's not go so fast. You know what? If God wants to change you today and make you something better by tomorrow, why would the clay say to the potter, you're trying to change my life too quickly. You want too much of me. Did you know something? I've got a feeling that Mrs. Caldwell knew what she was trying to make. I've got a feeling that the dough is kind of dumb. Isn't cookie dough dumb? Now, I know some of you, you're geniuses, you're smarter than God, but you just happen to be looking at a big old clump of clay that's stupid. Me. Thank you, Brother Morgan. Well, brother, you're a double pack of dumb clay if I'm a single pack. Clay's not all that smart and cookie dough's not all that smart, but the baker is. Look, the one that created the universe, if God wants you to turn you into something, if I were you, I'd just submit to it. Don't try to slow it down. Well, we want to be something else. Don't fight the forming. And then let me say this. There's going to be a little pressure and a little pain when you're going through the forming process. Sure. This is called a cookie cutter. Cutter. God might whittle on you a little bit here and there. Let me give you a verse. Galatians 4:19 says, "My little children, of whom I travail in birth again until Christ be formed in you." Every lady here that's ever given birth could tell you there's some pain involved in this process. What's happening? They're developing their child. There's sometimes a little pain when God is developing His children. Now, there's pain for the mom and pain for the dad. Stay with me here, man. Come on. There's pain for the dad. You got to pay the bill, right? That hurts. But there's pain involved. Listen, when you and I, as parents, when we're developing our children, there are times when it hurts. I know times that I've had to correct my children. It wasn't always a pleasant process. But there's pain involved. It says, "My little children, of whom I travail in birth again until Christ be formed in you." Hey, listen, let me say to every parent in here, the thing of being a parent, when you're molding your child, you can have struggles. There can be moments where it's hard. Every leader in here, when you're molding followers, it can be a little, there's pressure. There's pressure from what? Well, the former puts pressure on the cookie dough, and there's some cutting that goes on, but the end product is delicious. The end product is wonderful. Let me go on and let me repeat the point so you stay with me. I told you, number one, God's the one that does the forming. Number two, God formed all things for Himself and for His good pleasure. I said, number three, God wants Christ to be formed in us. I said, number four, don't fight the forming. I said, number five, there is pressure and pain when the forming process it's taking place. Number six, God wants to mold your attitude. He wants to mold your attitude. Nah, we all don't look alike. I don't think God was trying to make you and I all identical in physical appearance. But He wants every one of us to be identical to Jesus Christ in our spiritual appearance. He wants to mold our attitude. I'm going to read to you from Zechariah chapter 12, verse number 1. The Bible says this, "The burden of the word of the Lord for Israel, saith the Lord, which stretcheth forth the heavens and layeth the foundation of the earth and formeth the spirit of man within him." Those last few words says, He formeth the spirit of man within him. Let me give you a real quick lesson. In the Bible, when the word spirit is a capital S, that capital S shows reverence. That means it is the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit. This verse here in Zechariah chapter 12, verse number 1, he's not using a capital S for the word spirit. He's using a small S. That small S then tells us it is either a bad spirit or it is the spirit of man. This is a small S. Now, the best way, without going into a long dissertation, to explain to you man's spirit, it's basically your attitude. And here it says, He wants to form the spirit of man within Him. You know what God's trying to do? He's trying to form Jesus' attitude into your attitude. And your attitude was not created for you, it was created for Him. Your attitude ought to glorify God. Is God trying to mold your attitude? Attitude's a pretty big deal, isn't it? You really think about it? You know what makes your day good or bad? Your attitude. I mean, one person can be going through something identical that somebody else is going through, and one of them is whistling through the day, and they're fine, and somebody else is as mad as a hornet. And the difference is not what they're going through. The difference is what they are. What they are. God said, I want to mold your spirit. I want to mold your attitude. Oh, now sometimes the molding process is, it's painful. It's a travail time. Hey, let me ask you this question. What attitude is God trying to change in regard to your behavior? Are you going through a molding time? Are you letting God mold or form your attitude? Hey, if you have jealousy in your life, you ought to let God cut off the scraps. That's what happens, right? I mean, you take the cookie dough and the imprint is made from the little press, and we cut off that part of the dough that doesn't look like we want the cookie to look. Is God trying to trim up your life? Are there attitudes in your life that need to be cared for? Does God want to cut away some jealousy? Are you letting God form love in your life like He ought to? Is God forming your patience? Is God being allowed to form your joy or your peace or your love or all those qualities that make a day go much, much better? I heard the story once. It bears repeating here. There was an old hillbilly sitting on his porch, and he was whittling. A fellow came up to him and said, "What you whittling?" He said, "Whittling a dog." And the guy said, "You whittling a dog?" He said, "Yes, sir. I'm whittling a dog." He said, "Well, sir, how do you whittle a dog?" He said, "I don't know. Just cut everything off that don't look like a dog." You say, "Brother Owens, what's God doing? What's He doing in my life? I feel like He's kind of cutting on me here and there." He's creating something. Well, what's He creating? He's forming Jesus in your life. Well, how does He do that? He's trying to cut off everything that's not like Jesus. Till Christ be formed in you. Are you letting God form you? Now, I'm almost finished. You know how preachers lie about that right there. I am. I'm almost finished. Let me say number 7. Don't be satisfied until you are totally molded into His likeness. I'll tell you where some of you go wrong. You dabble in Christianity. My mama called it piddle. You piddle. Christianity is a little bit kind of a game for you. It's an in and out thing. Listen, you ought to be committed to allowing Christ to be formed in you. Let me read to you from Psalm chapter 17, verse number 15. The Bible says this, "As for me, I will behold thy face in righteousness. I shall be satisfied when I awake with thy likeness." Satisfaction comes. And listen, and everybody here, listen real carefully. There are some of you, you are so dissatisfied in life, it is pathetic. You are dissatisfied with so many things. You can't find satisfaction. And I'll tell you what your problem is. Satisfaction comes and grows on you the more of you get out of the road, and the more of Him is imprinted or molded into your life. The psalmist said, "I will be satisfied when I wake with thy likeness." In other words, dissatisfaction is an absence of Jesus Christ molding in your life. And if you want satisfaction, become like God.
I'm telling you, God's not dissatisfied. The most dissatisfied person in this house tonight is the one that is attempting the least to be like Jesus. Look, if you're like Jesus, you'd have a lot to be satisfied with. A lot. Hey, we have a long way to go. We need to be molded in His image. All events in your life, whether good or bad, have come upon you to form you into His likeness. Let Him do what He needs to do to get you the true satisfaction of life. I'll repeat the points and we'll be done. I said, number one, He's the great former. I said, number two, God formed all things for Himself and for His pleasure. I said, number three, God wants Christ formed in you. I said, number four, don't fight the forming. I said, number five, there's pressure and pain when we're going through the forming. He's cutting everything off that doesn't look like Jesus. I said, number next, God wants to mold or form your attitude. I said, number seven, don't be satisfied until you are totally molded to be like Him. Do you know that the happiest thing in the world that could happen to that cookie dough is that it be used? Uneaten cookies are not happy cookies. I've just given you a real good idea, haven't I? You want the cookies to be happy. Unused Christians are not happy Christians. That cookie, we could let it get stale, like some of you. You stale, useless. This old life, there's a little bit more to it than what the world realizes. If you've listened to me tonight, I've given you the purpose of your creation. You say, I wonder what I'm here to do. You're here to become like Jesus Christ. That's what you're here to do. And every event in life, whether negative or positive, it came to help with your molding. The Bible says, behold, a virgin shall be with child and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call His name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Jesus, the form of God. And then He becomes what you and I are to be formed into be ourselves. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Every head bowed, every eye closed. I've tried to give you a very simple sermon. If you've listened, it ought to give you a purpose for your life. There's somebody in this room, you're fighting the forming. There's some of you, you were formed better in days gone by. You've messed up the form. God had been working on you, but you've gotten away from Him. Let me tell you, no happier person than those that are becoming what God wants them to be. If you're not saved tonight, we welcome you to the Savior. If you're not saved, why don't you get saved and then God can begin forming you? But you need to become one of His children so He can form you into the likeness of His Son, Jesus Christ. Is there anybody here that would say, Pastor, I'm not sure I'm saved. Pray for me. Don't know that I'd go to heaven if I died tonight. Will you pray for me? Will you raise your hand? You say, I don't know that I'm saved. All right? How many of you would say, Pastor, I am saved. I know it. I know for a fact I am. Would you raise your hand and let God just see it as His testimony? I'm saved. I know that I'm saved. Good. And don't be ashamed of that. You may put your hands down. I make a simple plea. Let God form you into the image of His Son. That's what your life is truly all about. Who here would say, Preacher, God has challenged my thinking tonight. I've learned something that I'm going to let help me and help my Christian life. Would you let God see your hand again? And you may put your hand down. If you need a moment at this altar, I want you to feel free to come. The pianist is going to begin to play. Let's stand to our feet with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. Do you need to come to the altar? Is He cutting on you a little bit? You feel the pressure of that cookie cutter getting into your dough, if you will? See, it's a little painful what I'm going through. Let Christ be formed in you. Oh, there'll be some travail. There's some pain. There's some growing pains that go on. Oh, but God knows what He's doing. God knows what He's doing. He makes you usable. I'm the dough. Jesus is the mold. It is God's hand that presses that mold into that dough. The pressure cuts off what's not like Jesus. I love the story. The whittler. I just cut off everything that don't look like a dog. And God is just trying to cut off the things that don't look like Jesus. If you need the altar, you come. Oh, tucked into the Christmas story is a powerful doctrine. We see it. God come in the flesh. Jesus come to represent God. We love that story, but wait, don't let it stop there. God didn't only send Jesus in His image. He said, now you become like that image that I sent you. We're to bear the image of the heavenly, just like our children bear the image of the earthly.